I did friend him on Facebook. I'm like, does he even know what Facebook is? That's kind of like my dad. Like, I got a friend request from my dad. I'm like, he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Your dad's probably the same way. They don't know what the fuck.
Yeah, well, he learned how to post a picture of lobster tails.
Learning.
Sammy, shut up. Fill me up whatever it takes.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk skill rating. You know, I'm going to say a one simply because I had at least one drink, and I'm working on my second one, but I don't feel drunk, but I'm probably not drink. All right, we may not have a defense, but thank goodness we have the greatest quarterback of all time, and it's proven by his completion percentage.
Among other things.
Yeah, like his ability to spin move. And his ability to leap over the line. The offense had only one outcome in mind in Atlanta, and that was to win, no matter what, even if it meant overcoming the lack of defense. The complete and total absence of defense. Even if it meant using Taysom Hill as a blocking tight end slash running back quarterback, and thank goodness for Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. And thank goodness that the Falcons do one thing really well. Blow things. So much happened in Atlanta on Sunday, and we're going to try to talk about all of them, plus pick'ems in the next hour or so. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm going to go with a four. I know I was not necessarily challenged, but somebody on Twitter commented I should at least be a five, so I tried to get there. I did go to dinner. I had about three or four glasses of wine. Now I got a cocktail. There's a lot to celebrate this week. Signed the contract to build my house, which was big, in addition to the Saints beating the Falcons, and a certain golfer winning a certain tournament. But
save
we'll
it
get to that
later.
That's right. I know. So I'll go with the four.
All right, Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
Feeling good, yeah.
Yeah? You got a number?
No number tonight.
All right. Thought you might have taken the Twitter challenge, but you didn't know about it because you don't use Twitter, right?
This is correct. I'm an adult.
So then, let's waste no time in getting straight to the one thing we definitely want to talk about, and that is the game recap.
We went into Atlanta, beat the Falcons in their metal asshole stadium, enforced our dominance in the rivalry.
Did you say rivalry?
That's how the Falcons spelled it when they saluted Tom Benson.
No. It was a nice gesture for them to pay tribute to Mr. Benson. Of course, they failed because that's just what they do.
They blew it. You know, they blew it.
Right. I mean, that's just what they do. But it was a very nice gesture that I'm sure came from their owner, Mr. Blank.
If only they could spell.
Well, there's a lot of, again.
You can't spell one fucking word.
They can't hold on to a 28-3 lead either. I mean, they can't do a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of things.
That's the whole, right, that's why they're who they are, Jason.
They can't do things
that any other human can do.
Right.
And it is shocking that they can't.
But it was a nice gesture, and I tip my hat.
Okay, what else? Drew Brees broke a record.
Yeah, he broke Favre's record of most completions. Favre was sitting at 3,600. I think Brees has, after the end of the game, 3,636.
He had a lot. He got that record pretty quickly.
Right, right. That makes him number one in the history of the NFL with completions.
And it went to Michael Thomas, right?
Michael Thomas. Mm-hmm. Superstar, you know.
Yep.
But a man that's sitting at 80% completion, I mean, what? That's just stupid. Okay, that no one does that.
Especially at 39 years old.
Right. And it's not dink and dunks either, you know. I mean,
the first play of the game was Michael Thomas for like 40 yards.
Right. So he 80%. He breaks that record again in the, you know, 2 weeks. He's going to break the all-time passing record in the Dome on Monday night against the Redskins. The I can't wait for that game. But yeah, I mean, Breeze continued to show at 39. He is not.
Like other players said, like Armstead said it and Robertson said it, like Breeze is the fucking GOAT.
100%.
He ain't got the five rings that Brady has.
That's
he also
didn't
get to play in the AFC East for 15 years. But
well, that's Breeze, also because we don't play defense.
Right.
Right. He's been saddled with the defense as ever. But Breeze is the fucking GOAT.
Right. Breeze
is the GOAT.
Anyone who says otherwise
is a noodle arm chip pants.
That's right. So other things about the game.
It was nice to, we got the ball first, went right down the field, boom, scored.
Shut that crowd.
I got rid of that, you know, middling offense in the Cleveland game. Although, shit, Cleveland might be a lot better than we think. But it was nice to get the ball, go, score, boom. Little did we realize how much we were going to need that a lot.
No. It was a track meet. And like Sean Payton, I think he had said it last week, you know, that, look, when you have to try to outscore your opponents and it's a track, you know, it's a track meet that we're 50, you know, we're a 500 team.
Yeah.
So we definitely need to clean that up. Again, the biggest eyesore of the game is our defense and DJ Williams and Crawley.
It's the right side. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. And I guess it was Williams. I mean, he bit bad on a couple of double moves.
All day.
I mean, yeah. He bit bad
yeah. Everywhere. Now, Sean Payton says, I think it was him, was it Sean Payton or somebody else, that it's a confidence issue more than it's anything else for those guys, for Crawley and PJ Williams?
I mean, that's what he says.
I don't know. What do you mean a confidence issue? To me, it looks like a skill issue or lack thereof. I mean, yeah, or maybe you can't be confident when you know you don't have the skills.
They ain't got skills to pay the bills.
Yeah, and like I said, we got a bunch of questions about it. We'll probably dissect that more in looking at him tweets. But so let's stay with the good stuff. Let's stay with the offense. At least Cam Jordan had a good day.
Cam Jordan had another two sacks. Marcus Davenport got his first sack.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, look, as bad as the defense had played at the end of regulation, I mean, think about it. The Falcons fans have been bitching on Twitter, beat a depleted team with a depleted defense. And
you get the ball in overtime.
We never get the ball. But you know what? They got the ball with a minute and 15 left with three timeouts and the end of regulation, and they didn't do shit.
Yeah.
All they needed was a field goal, didn't do shit.
It felt good to hear their fans boo them.
Yeah. I was not very confident, like you said, given the, you know, I thought we might have scored too soon.
the way
the defense was playing, how many long balls have we given up? I was
Breeze was just as surprised.
I wasn't confident.
Breeze was just as surprised, I think, too, that he got that touchdown. When he did that spin move, he was like, "Oh shit, I'm still up! All right, let me go."
And of course, look, I mean, he doesn't want to run. You know, he wants to throw it, and he tried to throw it as well as he can. He's like, "Shit, though, I got 10 yards in front of me. May as well go."
Yeah, I thought he was going to throw it when he passed the lineup. He looked like he was trying to throw. It was like 6 yards past the blue line.
Even to the Falcons. The two guys missed the tackle on Breeze. Not one, but two.
Well, he had that terrific spin move, you know?
Yeah.
I'm looking for his spin number to go up on Madden, you know?
Speaking of the defense, though, you talk about the good things. I mean, when you look at average yards allowed per rush.
There goes Jeff with his
per rush. Yep. 3.3 against Tampa Bay, 3.4 against Cleveland, 2.2. Yeah, against Atlanta.
We are the number one rushing defense in the league in terms of yards allowed. We are the best rushing defense in the league.
Teams don't rush against us.
Well, because when they see PJ Williams out there, why bother rushing?
No, there have been plenty of times where we had the worst pass and the worst rush defense.
But no, I mean, even all game, I was like, man, we are stopping the run very well.
Yeah, we
just can't.
Seemed like the linebackers, I don't know, kind of figure it out. Go in your linebackers. And also another big stat, Jeff, you want to keep with stats, the third down stat.
I'm a scat man.
Atlanta was 4 for 11 on third down.
Yeah.
36%. That's another good defensive stat, you know, trying to paint a positive picture here.
That's right. Cleveland did better than the Falcons did against us in almost all categories. So our defense played against Atlanta better than they played against the Cleveland Browns.
Well, what did we say the first week in the second that we're going to get better? Yeah. Now, obviously, the defense, there's a lot of room for improvement.
There was lots of room.
Lots of room to get better.
Lots of room in the secondary for improvement.
Right, you know.
Boy, it's a good thing we cut all those defensive backs that have been picked up by other teams. I mean, even including our two draft picks. We cut them both. They both got scooped up by other teams. Yeah, Arthur Mollett, he got scooped up by another team.
Of course, that's going to happen.
It's like they were worse than PJ?
I don't get the... Atlanta. It's like you can't help yourself but go in the direction of wanting to talk about the defense. But shit, man, there's so much offense to talk about. Special teams.
Another black punt against Atlanta.
As is, of course, the tradition.
I mean, it's tradition to block a punt against Atlanta at least once a year.
Can you name another team we blocked a punt on in the last 12 years?
I don't know.
There has to be one, but I can't think of it.
Do you know the Saints had over 100 yards rushing? We ran the ball. We ran it well.
Thank God for Drew Brees and his rushing stats. That's why he's the GOAT.
His 7 yards.
And Tyson Hill, yeah.
Yeah, but Jesus, like, Jonathan Williams is absolute garbage. He shouldn't even be on the field.
Thank God they cut Boston Scott.
At least he's on the practice squad. They need to cut fucking Jonathan Williams. I mean, he is absolute garbage.
Why is he there on this team?
I don't know.
Why is he on this team? Every week he runs the ball for, like, one time, and he gets no more than 1 yard, usually less.
And he doesn't make the right cut. He doesn't, like, he sucks. There's no reason he should be on this team. I mean, thank God when Ingram comes back after next week.
How about Ben Watson?
Dodson! We've got Dodson here! See, nobody cares.
Oh, man, Watson! Still can get it up. Just can't get it in.
No, sir. I didn't like it.
What? Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Not your best.
Not my best.
I think
but
you waited. Maybe I cut you off, and it would have been better if it was timed right when I said old man Watson the first time. It's reach.
Well, yeah, because I was ready to say old man Watson. You button hooked me. I didn't know you were going to button hook me.
I got you. All right, Ted Ginn.
Drop scenes.
Yeah, starting to
this was
worry about shades of...
I wouldn't say I'm worried, but this was a typical Ted Ginn game. A lot of drops.
Or was it?
Especially like on that one, that play that would have resulted in a first down on the sideline towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a perfect pass. He was right there and just, nope.
Yeah.
And then even after that, they still put him back there to return punts. And there were a couple of punt returns where he almost was like, whoop. Just, yeah. I mean, I get we were overworking Kamara, but is there no one else that we can have to just catch a ball other than Kamara?
Kamara and Thomas, right. Well, Meredith got his first touchdown. I think that was also his first reception and first touchdown.
All right.
Like I said, I think they're going to start working him into the rotation.
That'll be nice to see.
And, I mean, assuming that Traquan Smith will improve a little bit as he goes along. I mean, he had nothing this game.
No.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about him.
Well, he didn't make a catch.
Right. They haven't mentioned his name in 3 weeks. So,
since preseason.
You know, look, I said in the preseason, I mean, we were, you know, last year, Kamara, Lattimore, all the rookies came in and contributed so hard. And, you know, for whatever reason, if they're great or just, you know, who they're replacing, what, you know, they're better than. It's hard for these new guys, like, you know, Smith, to, you know, to come in and replace some of these guys. Give them, you know, it's only their third game in the NFL. Let them, you know.
True. Especially in the Saints offense.
Know, right. Right. You know.
That's something, too. Sure. Like this, you know, Kamara and Thomas have been great, but they've had to carry the load these first few weeks with Ingram out and with Meredith coming along with his injury and Smith being a rookie. I mean, in 5 or 6 weeks, this offense could look a lot different in terms of more people contributing.
Even better, right. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of crazy to think about. The fact that like, you're saying like this offense is going to get better than what it already is.
Yeah,
it will. I mean,
it's crazy to think about. I mean, we're putting up almost 500 yards a game here.
Right. Well, now, again, thank goodness we can do that. But again, we're doing it out of necessity.
Because we're
you know,
And now with
well, but as long as the defense is what it is, they're going to necessarily
they're going to have to and right
have to do it.
Thank goodness we can.
Yeah,
but and Jeff, you said it in our text, you know, exchanges during the game. It came, you know, going to come down to the last team holding the ball, you know, and we don't, you know, that's not how you win. That you're not going to win a championship like that. No. You're not.
Not unless you always have the ball last.
Well, all right. No, it just, you know, it's not always going to turn out on your side. So right. We are the defense has to improve. And again, our pass defense has to improve. We have to find.
Good Lord.
Is it the players? Is it the coaching? You know, is it the scheme?
I mean, guys look very confused on a lot of plays.
Is it a combination of the coach? And that's one of the questions. And so let's get into it then. Let's get into looking at them tweets.
Hey.
One quick thing, Greenbaum, pretty much, I should have read this to open the show. Basically, he covered everything. What has changed on our defense from last year?
Why do we suck again?
How about Taysom Hill?
Tiger Week!
Brees is the GOAT. There's so much stuff to tweet about.
The only player we lost is Vaccaro. That's the only difference, right? I mean, we brought in Coleman and we got rid of Vaccaro. The safeties are the same. Defensive line is the same other than Davenport. And I think he's better than what we had.
Linebacker.
We brought in DeMario Davis.
Oh, long hair. What's his name?
Anzalone's back.
Yeah,
but
he's back.
But still, I mean,
he wasn't there last. He wasn't there. Now he is. That's different.
But that's the weird thing. It's like they seem confused now, but it's the same coordinator, a lot of the same guys. How this year you're confused, and at the end of last year you weren't.
Are they trying something different this year? Which, who knows?
I mean, but, we've seen enough Saints defenses to know, like, shit gets crazy. I mean, who knows what the fuck.
But I want to hone in on Scott's tweet more than anything on the Taysom Hill comment, because we kind of touched on that a little bit. Taysom Hill played almost every position there is to play this week.
On offense, right.
Yeah. And special teams. I got to say, like, they had a question to Sean Payton after the game about him, and
we've got a number of things that we do with him on the field, and when you take 46 to the game, it's a smaller number. I've said that before. When you start looking around the sidelines, it's kind of, there aren't a lot of bodies. And he is someone that's smart. He loves playing football. I mean, it's amazing the energy you feel on our bench when he made the long run. And he brings that same juice to special teams, and everyone gets better. Those are unique players. You know, those are guys that love playing football, and so I think our job as coaches is constantly looking at how do we give them chances to do things they love well. The scheme has got to be able to fit the talents of your players and not the other way around. And so I hadn't given it much thought with Drew, to be honest with you, in 12 years. All right. But with Taysom, you know, there's a package there, and he's not just a running back or receiver. He can throw, and, you know, we'll build on things we can do with it.
You know, I like that he said that.
Sure.
He's a better blocking tight end than Josh Hill.
He's the better Hill. See what I did there?
I do. Now, that was better than the old man Watson.
Yeah. I don't know. My old man Watson. I'm not the recycle the old man Watson joke in a few weeks.
Yeah. When he catches his touchdown.
Right, right. The game-winning touchdown against somebody.
Against the Falcons, next time we're playing.
Whoever.
Christian Mino says, so Christian went to the game. He said, I was acknowledged by Cam Jordan and Miss Benson. I got to see a classic blocked punt.
As is, of course, the tradition.
And Drew Brees goes Superman in the end zone. What a game. Can't wait until November. So just wanted to give Christian a shout out.
That is one of the best parts, too, because some of the videos got posted on Twitter of the Falcons fans fighting outside the stadium after the game, or them leaving, walking out, being all quiet, and Saints fans being loud. And even some guy had a cell phone video while being in the stands, just turning around and seeing all the Falcon fans, just the few that were in the stands, just being so dejected and everything. And it's just great. It's just great. And that brought up a thing, too. Like, the whole time during the game, Chris Carter was talking about, yeah, man, these lower bowl seats, they're all empty because there's so much to do in the stadium.
Yeah, he's trying to play up the stadium.
Right. He's clearly playing. I was like, dude.
Bullshit.
All these pictures that have come out during different quarters, it's all empty. I mean, okay, you pay your ticket. I'm sorry. I'm going to sit in my seat and cheer and watch the game. If you want to go have a $5 beer against a waterfall of glass, good for you.
Right.
It's just classic. Well, look,
this isn't a new thing. This is not a new thing that Atlanta fans are fickle and shitty, and they have some of the worst fans support in the NFL. If y'all remember, I think it was 2010, could have been 2000, when Philadelphia came to town and Michael Vick was on there, on the team. And it was audible that you could hear in the fourth quarter, Atlanta, in the stadium, we want Vic.
Wow.
Okay, I don't know if y'all remember that. I remember that.
Were they chanting "Who dat" in mockery of us at some point, though? I thought I
no,
heard
that's all our
no, those were Saints
no.
fans.
Oh.
Saints fans, we're louder than they are.
Okay. Right. I could have sworn I heard "Who dat," and I'm sitting here thinking,
oh, you heard it.
There's not enough Saints fans to outnumber. Oh, okay.
Hell yes, there are. Look, you know, I was in the kitchen, and I had the TV on, you know, and the play would happen, and you would hear the cheer. And I said, oh, I said, well, something bad must have happened for the Saints. And no, it was our offense moving the ball. You know? And, no, I mean, they have shitty fans. They have a fucking they have a franchise because they have a lot of corporate sponsorship in Atlanta, a huge city with, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, but their individual fans are very, very few in number in soccer. And no one's from fucking Atlanta.
Right. Cleveland's got more fans than they do.
Fuck yeah. You, dude.
Yes.
Cleveland, you got to tip your hats off to Cleveland. Cleveland fans ain't won a game in 2 years, and they act like it was, you know, and their stadium was packed.
There you
and
go.
Locked.
The one guy tweeted on Twitter just randomly, he said, nice to see the Falcons fans come dressed as red seats to the game. And then Neil did tweet about the that train, the third down train, saying, is that loud train horn the new, quote, sound of fans in at Shitlanta? You know how they pump the crowd noise in.
Right,
God,
right.
That was so annoying to hear that. Wasn't it? The game.
Didn't we do that 1 year? And we were annoyed by it in our own stadium.
Yeah, and then we got rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. We learned our lesson. That was stupid.
All right. Edgar Leva said, can we trade for Patrick Peterson?
I'd give an arm and a leg to trade for Patrick
Peterson. What would you give for Patrick Peterson?
Just about everything.
Right, man.
I'd give him
Patrick Peterson or fucking
any decent
Seattle.
Quarterback. Well, we don't need a safety. We need a cornerback. I would trade our – so we already don't have our 2019 first-round pick. I'd trade our 2020 and 21 first-round pick to get Patrick Peterson. Done. Sold. I mean, look, Arizona ain't going anywhere. They're rebuilding. They're now starting Josh Rosen.
What would you do if you woke up tomorrow and you heard something like that?
Ejaculating. I mean, legit.
I mean,
that's what I would do.
I wouldn't put it past Mickey Loomis to just pay, like, sell the farm for something. Like,
I mean, at this point, if they...
Who's out there to get? Because that's the other question. Right. Is who? How do you address this cornerback problem? You got to bring in more talent this week, right?
The only way would be, but there's nobody on the street that's good enough. It would have to be a trade.
Eric Reed?
He's a safety, but I would still bring him in, or at least give him a look.
You don't think he could turn play cornerback better than P.J.
No.
Williams and Ken Grubb?
No, he's a safety. Did you hear him?
He's a safety.
So, right. Damon, you could go and play better than P.J. Williams right now.
But, I mean, yeah,
okay.
I would trade.
Clown Baby says, I don't
picks.
Think Devontae Harris could have done much worse than Crawley or P.J. Where's he?
Well, that's true. That's fucking true.
And he did go on to say, Clown Baby, he went on to say, on a bright side, Julio only had like one big catch the whole game, so Lattimore did pretty good.
Lattimore
did really good.
Then they had to move Lattimore to
right
to Ridley, and then Julio started to get some catches because he didn't have Lattimore on him.
Yeah.
So that is one good sign. Lattimore looks to be like his old self again, which is good, but we're still fucked on the other side right now.
Can we clone Lattimore?
Yes.
All right, Davis Douglas, happy to get the win, but the D needs improvement. Knowing we don't have a compliment to Lattimore on the other side, why are we still playing man-to-man coverage?
I don't know. Why are we?
Is that,
that's
to play to Lattimore's strengths?
Good point.
Is it more important, right, you know, yeah, a shutdown?
Right. Is he more of a one-on-one guy than
a... I don't know. I feel like I've seen too many years of Saints defenders just being confused on defense. At some point, that just has to stop.
I feel like I saw too much of P.J. Williams watching people catch the ball from 7 yards away.
Well, because after he got burned, then he was playing off him, like Damon texted. Like, at some point, then we started to play off him, so they would just run the under routes, and they'd be wide open and get 7, 10 yards a pop.
Right.
Where would the safety help?
Yeah. I don't know.
What I don't understand is why the Falcons didn't just literally call the same play every fucking down. Especially at the end of the game, Damon, like you were saying, when they got the ball at the end and they had time and they didn't do anything with it, I would have launched the ball to the right side of the field. It was either going to be a touchdown catch or a pass interference on the 5-yard line.
Right.
That's classic Falcons for you.
I mean, they totally blew it. Like, did it? Wow. Everybody saw it all day. All right, anyway, Big Easy Guy, John. Apart from P.J. Williams sucking, especially, once again, I don't think it's fair to say this defense played bad. I think they showed in key spots they can buckle down when it matters. If we clean up this over-the-top shit, we'll be all right. Am I crazy?
I mean, like we said before, they played great against the run. They had a couple sacks. The front seven is playing okay. It's the back four.
One reason, or the thing that needs to be cleaned up as well, is the red zone. Because this particular game, especially, I'm like, the whole time, okay, they're going to go down the field on us because we can't stop the pass. But once we get in the red zone and the field gets shorter and it gets tighter, we're gonna be all right. We'll be a bend but don't break, right? And then we'll hold them to field. Nope, 4 for 4, 100%.
Yeah, and they have a couple of, like, the little rub route where we were just totally confused on who was going to take who. And then after we didn't even talk about the field goal that was called out by the penalty. Oh. We didn't even talk about all the penalties in the game.
Right.
We had over 100 yards of penalties.
Yeah. But how much of that was us versus the refs?
I mean, for the most part, it was on us.
Okay. All right.
There were maybe one, maybe two questionable calls, but it was us. I mean, yeah, just stupid penalties. And then take the 3 off the board. I'm like, okay, you never take points off the board. And then the next play, nope, they scored 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, never mind.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
All right, Brandon Bradley says, was it just me or did Drew look aggravated talking to Sean Payton at the end of the game?
He did.
And then also at the beginning of the post-game press conference, Drew didn't appear to be what I would call relaxed. I didn't see the press conference to know.
Was he not wearing relaxed khakis?
He didn't ride the relaxy taxi?
No, apparently. On the ride home, he did.
Right. I thought he looked aggravated, but I just chalked that up to him being aggravated about the Falcons and shit, not aggravated with Sean Payton about something.
Well, yeah, it was either at the end of the game or in halftime, yeah. I mean, him and Peyton were definitely having a, I'm not going to say heated, but, I mean, I don't think they were fighting, but they were having an animated discussion.
About what?
I don't know, I wasn't there. I was watching on TV.
You weren't lipping their reads?
Reading
their lips.
No, I was watching on television.
I don't know. I'd have to. It makes me want to go back and look at the press conference and see if I could pick up on anything. But you know, ESPN's not going to write an article about the relationship between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, you know, and recaption that, find and replace Sean Payton and Drew Brees over it. I mean, maybe they just disagree.
Yeah,
maybe Drew Brees said, "I want to jump over the line." Sean's like, "No, we're going to give it to Taysom Hill," and Drew Brees like, "Motherfucker, what?" And so Brees changed the play and took it himself. Anyway, Hungry Hudat says, when angry Mark Ingram comes back, does this offense reach unstoppable juggernaut status?
Yeah, pretty close to it. I mean,
it hasn't
it's
already.
Going to be, yeah, I'm looking forward to Mark Ingram.
Dude.
Because even though we did run for 143 yards, look, I mean, and all, if you're being honest, like I said, you know, some of that was Hill's run, and so
right.
Mark Ingram give you the ability to line up in a pro set and hand the ball off. And we're not, you know, we don't exactly have right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ingram can bounce around and he can right. do his thing, but
and a good running game, obviously helps, you know, opens up the passing game. You got him.
Yep.
You're gonna have to choose one.
And just to eat the clock, so we don't have to worry about getting in a shootout.
Yeah, that's true. So it's only going to get better from here. Does that actually help the defense in some ways? Because if you are able to hold on to the ball longer, I don't know how much the resting, or at least it's not about the resting.
It keeps them off the field.
It gets, right. Exactly. All right. That wraps up Lickit and Tweets. Then let's now move into Tiger Week. I got the eye of the tiger.
One.
All right. Now it's time to move into it. All right. Quickly. 2-minute drill.
Right.
What happened?
Okay. 2 minutes. So this was the Tour Championship. It was the best 30 golfers of the entire PGA Tour season. They qualify for this event. So it was the 30 best guys of this season on the PGA Tour. He got off to an early lead, and he didn't relinquish it. At one point, his lead was up to like 6. He went in he had the Saturday lead. And it was just, I mean, he was on point. He had everything dialed in. And really, the craziness wasn't as much as he won, but the reaction when he was walking up 18, the sea of people that was behind him as he's coming up the 18th fairway, it was just insane. It's one of the scenes that you only see at, like, the Open Championship where they actually allow that kind of thing. But for this, you know, it's a Tour Championship. I mean, it's a big tournament, but it's not a major. It's not the players, but for the excitement level around this was just absolutely stunning. And look, he made front page news everywhere today because of his win. First win in 5 years. We've got the Ryder Cup this week, USA against Europe. Fuck Europe.
Hey, fuck you, buddy.
And he's on the team, so they flew out after the event. But look, a lot of people said he was never going to win again. I mean, a year ago, he was happy to announce that he could chip on a green, and
yeah,
this was
yeah. So I mean, this is the first major he's won in how long? Oh, it's not a major.
Don't worry, asshole. It's
oh,
coming.
Not a major. Oh, it's just a regular. So he won a regular golf tournament.
This was only
fucking,
his,
and we're fucking was, jacking off over it
because golf is a lot about confidence and feel. Like he played well this year. I mean, shit, he almost won the fucking FedEx Cup. He finished second in the FedEx Cup. He put something together, and he was missing this. And he would put something else together, but then he was missing that. Mm. He's got it all together right now. Golf is a lot about confidence. Guys get on hot.
That and when you just and so is cornerback apparently. So maybe let's see if he can play corner.
Now that was
he could probably he's probably better than BJ.
You know what else is about confidence? Pick'ems.
I know I sucked last week.
You did. You went 1-4, Jason.
Wait,
Damon, you went 2-3, and I went 3-2 to take the lead, 9-6 overall, and you both are tied for last place among the three of us at 8-7.
Hey, we're still over 500. I'll take it. My last week was That's bad. Right.
Jason, the only game you won was Kansas City because of the Kansas City three-way. Damon, you tacked on the Baltimore pick because you rode my coattails on that one. And I got the Rams because you both bought into the Charger hype, thinking that the Chargers start strong. I told you that they don't.
You were correct. I was stupid.
We were all wrong about the fucking Bengals and the Texans.
God, the Texans are shit. The Texans coach might be the first one to get fired.
They suck.
I mean, that's bad.
All right. The overall league, Life of Tie, is in first place, and it's a tie with Who Dat Chris at 13-2.
Jesus, they're like the Rams of Pick'ems.
They are. And then the next is Dave Brink. He's 8-2, so he's missed a week. That's why he's up there. But if you are, but 12-3 actually is the real second place with Emmanuel 80, followed by. We got James at 8-2. So in the, you know, the week off players, James is up there. But let's see. Let's stick with the 15, the people who have played a full season so far.
You got all of Mike's picks?
What's no, Mike didn't send picks this week. After all that shit, he never sent his picks in.
This week? You sure?
I'm not sure.
Well, he's going to let you know that he did.
Oh, no, he did. I'm sorry. He's so far down the list. He's 8-7. He's actually above 500, though.
Yeah, he's tied with me.
Yeah. So I will read through real quick. All right. So in order, B. Bradley, Nola, Davis Douglas, Josh Otter, Ryan Cummings, Saints Europe, Who Dat Fist, Ash, Bull Smith, DJZ, Miso Mad, Ryan Angier, Tom Ensign, Wheels, Who Dat Fish, then me, Alex Barbie, Big Easy Gaijon, Clown Baby, Dr. Who Dat EJ, my son Jake, J.M. Klein, BBK, Random Thoughts, Sanctuary, Desi, Jason, Damon, Ben Wright, Fuck the Falcons, Mordecai, Wayno, Doug, my son, Drew, Preston Allen, Chris McGuire, Chris Booty, Greenbaum, James Tabor, JTL, Neil, Saints Hobbs, Christian Mino, Giovanni Turner, and last place, Fishing Magician.
The good news is I'm still beating Greenbaum, so I'm going to...
That's right. You just listen for the names you care about. So yes, my kids are playing. They're 10 years old, and they are doing better than Doug and Greenbaum. Actually, no, right. Andrew's tied with Doug. So
still, he's a better. All right. So we got week four. Not a lot of good games at first look at it, but. Now that I look at the schedule, I know I'm talking myself in a circle. Hopefully it's not as bad as I think. Our first game, the surprising 3-0 Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
3-0. Now, they played shit so far, but they beat that shit. Traveled to New England to play the Pats, who were sitting there at 1-2, coming off back-to-back losses, a really bad loss against Detroit this past week. But when you look at it, you know, New England traded away all their playmakers. I mean, who do they have to make a play on offense? Other than Gronk and a defense can double-team them. I mean, there's nobody else. Edelman's still out.
Now they have Josh Gordon.
Now they have Josh Gordon. So this game is in New England, and they do tend to play better at home. And they're favored by 7. Well, I figured Damon would take New England because he always does.
I'm definitely taking the Pats over Miami.
Yeah. Give me the Dolphins.
Oh, man. This is a tough one because...
When look, you get every year. It seems like you get the narrative. Oh, is New England done? Yeah, and then they end up rattling off a shit ton of wins and winning their shit division.
I'm going to take New England because I think there's a little something about anytime New England does lose, especially on prime time, embarrassed to like that they were, they come back with a vengeance and right the ship. So
you're not worried about the Damian Amendola revenge game?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm more worried about the Bill Belichick and Tom Brady revenge game, where they want to get revenge on the world.
But if there's no talent to throw it to, does it make a sound?
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out.
This proves whether or not there's good coaching on that team.
All right, our next game. The Cincinnati Bengals, coming off a loss at Carolina, which really disappointed me, travel to the shithole Megatron's asshole to play a Falcons team where their fans don't watch the game in the seats, supposedly.
Isn't going to be okay. What's the spread?
This is a surprising line. Somehow the Falcons are favored by 6. I'll go first. Still supporting the Bengals. Falcons, and I'm ready to see Atlanta start 1-3.
I'm picking Atlanta. I don't know why.
They also lost their starting safety to a torn Achilles.
I'm going to take the Bengals with the points.
All right, our next game. It looks like Tampa Bay will be 2-1, as currently they are down 30-10 at the start of the third quarter. Travel to Chicago to play a 2-1 Bears team who's got a great fucking defense. But Mitch Trubisky is a little iffy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy to think that Chicago, they traded up. They gave away a lot of picks to trade up, move up one spot to take Trubisky, and they could have just taken Pat Mahomes.
Wow.
Yeah.
When so you put it that way.
Thank God they did, because I don't need that in the NFC. But the Bears are favored by 2.5. Now, this is before the result of tonight's game.
Tonight's game, right.
So it could change tomorrow, but as of now, it's 2.5.
If you're picking with us, you're picking 2.5. Well, we know, though.
Okay. I'll go first for the second straight time. I'll take the Bears.
Yeah, I like the Bears also. Think of that defense, and I think Pittsburgh is kind of, you know, Fitzpatrick, we knew he would do this, right?
The magic is wearing off.
We knew he would do this. This is what he does. He has, I know a pick, I saw a pick six and probably at least two other interceptions.
Fitzpatrick is more like a Draco Malfoy and less Harry Potter. If you want to buck the trend. Ha ha ha, buck.
You get it, I got it, and I can't bear it. I'm taking Chicago.
All right, our next game, battle of the AFC North, the black and blue battle, the Baltimore Ravens coming off a win this past week, travel to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers, who look like they're going to take care of Tampa pretty handily tonight. Looks like both teams will be 2-1. This game is in Pittsburgh. Steelers are favored by 3.
I'm going to go Steelers.
I feel like going Baltimore. They've served us well in their pick-ems lately. So.
Well, go Baltimore, then do it.
I think I will.
All right, I'm going to go Steelers. All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go! I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a big piece.
And I tell you what, man.
Lots of offers out there.
Nothing pleases me more than to see one of these teams in the shitty game of the week.
Carolina.
Nope.
Dallas.
No, but I almost picked Dallas. That's that fan base I would love to stick in the shitty game of the week as well. But I also, this other fan base, it's great for them to now be forced
Minnesota.
To eat. That's a Thursday game. I couldn't pick it.
No.
I mean, that's really the best game of the week, and I couldn't pick it.
The best shitty game of the week or the best game of the week?
No, that's Minnesota at the Rams. That's the best game of the week. Yeah, couldn't pick it.
Is it the Jets?
No. We are going to go with the Seattle Shithawks.
Ah, yes.
It's
been after all their bullshit about the 12s and about the blah, 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 they're terrible.
I do not say blah, blah, blah.
They travel to Arizona to play a shitty Cardinals team who has now finally turned over the reins to Josh Rosen. They finally realized, yeah, Sam Bradford sucks. Why did we pay him to be our starter? We're stupid. So this game is in Arizona, and the Cardinals are getting 3 at home.
I will take Arizona with the points, and I will also want to make a point to state that Seattle, for all their shit that they tried to give everybody when they had their good few years, you know, the Saints have been able to sustain relevancy for, what, 6, 7, 8, at least 12 years. Seattle, you know, you come and go. Boom. You know, flash in the pan. And they act like they've been
Earl
there the
Thomas
whole time.
Is the last, Earl Thomas is the last of the Legion of Boom still there.
And he keeps talking about wanting to get traded. Like, he didn't
practice
last week.
Right. He says he's not practicing.
Yeah, he's not even going to practice. He'll show up, and if they don't trade him, then he'll play, and then otherwise he'll get traded.
But,
I love it.
I'm taking Arizona as well.
Yeah, make that a sweep.
The old
freeway.
We call that the cacti.
What?
Arizona, desert, cactus, I don't know. Trying different things. Who knows?
Just the cock tie.
Oh! Maybe it is the three-way cock tie.
No, no, I'm not participating.
The place you
in
never want to be.
You can have a two-way cock tie. All right. What has happened to
Did
this
Did I mention
show?
That before?
Right. I think you might be a five. You might have made it.
I might have bumped it up to the five.
Right. All right, let's get into Saints Preview.
Yo, Matty, check out those colors. Yellow like a taxi, orange like the ball at the Knicks game, and red like the sauce on my Mamma Mia's gougats.
Yeah, and brown, like the guys I don't pick up in my cab.
Beautiful.
Tonight's top story, Quahog is infested with loud, hairy creatures also known as New Yorkers.
They migrate north every autumn to see the foliage. And I think I speak for all of us when I say that New York and everyone from there can fornicate themselves with an iron stick.
This one is going to be a cakewalk, right?
It should be, but
they came out and hammered the Texans last week.
But the Texans suck worse than my nuts do.
Yeah, the Texans do suck, and if you get any kind of pass rush, Eli just folds. And the Giants do suck, but our secondary kind of sucks.
Was there any truth to this whole like the Giants might be willing to trade away OBJ and that Eli is ready to walk? And all that business?
They're not drafting Beckham.
Is that conjecture? No,
I got to think the Giants are going to draft a quarterback in the next year's draft. I mean, they have to.
Right. Yeah, Eli is, he didn't age as well as some of these quarterbacks.
Well, he's no Drew Brees.
No, he's a good quarterback. I don't think Eli's a Hall of Famer.
No, I don't either.
No, but he'll probably go in with the two Super Bowls and beating the Pats. I mean, look, I don't think he. I mean, he's Roethlisberger's better. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are better.
Philip Rivers is better.
Yeah.
If he wasn't in that shitty team, Sean Payton could have won Super Bowls with Philip Rivers.
Not with the defense.
But anyway, back to look, we're going to New York. They're not a good team. They are struggling. They did handle the Texans.
Yeah, it is a late game. It's gonna be a 3:30 game. I would assume we're gonna stick Lattimore on Beckham, which we should. Which is good, but now you just got to worry about Sterling Shepard beating us. I mean, I would never have thought we'd ever have to say that, but we kind of have to say that. But their tight end, Evan Engram, it looks like he's going to miss the game, so that's good. I mean, their big weapons are Beckham and the rookie Barkley, but we've actually been good against the run, so maybe we shut him down and, this could be a game where, we should. Maybe my stomach won't be shit like this week. I mean, my stomach was just fucking bubble guts, just on edge. Like, I felt like my stomach was upset the whole second half in this past game this week. I hated that fucking feeling. I'd love to get out.
You chose to go nervous. Me and Damon chose to go angry.
No, I was nervous.
Anger. Anger was a lot easier than nervousness, I'll tell you that.
There was like a party in my stomach, and I did not want that. I wanted the party to be shut down by the cops. I wanted nothing to do with it.
No, well,
it was just like, bleh.
Well, this Giants team, they can't run the ball. They're mediocre at passing at best. Our defense has been proven to be able to stop the run now. And even, they're going to have a better than average passing game for themselves. It's just going to happen. We're going to have to get used to that. But their defense is not going to be able to stop our offense. I don't care if it's in New York.
Right. Right. They're not facing Deshaun Watson.
Right.
No. But we are going to, if we get some pressure to Eli and he gets rattled, like the game can be over pretty quickly. You can get him rattled early, and I think we'll be in good shape.
How cool would this be if this is another one of those like 52 to 10 games? You remember the 2009 season when we just like rattled off touchdowns against the Giants when it was in the dome?
It was we didn't win by that big a margin, but we won by a good margin.
Yeah, it was just an air show.
Let's just hope it's not the game that was from 2011, 12, or 13 when it was 52-49.
Oh yeah,
that's. Yeah, that's the one I don't want.
That's your bubble guts you just talked about.
Yeah, it's going to be more bubble guts. I don't want that.
And not like it was in 2012 when it was 52-27, but they had the 52.
Right. Fucking D-line, play well, get to Eli, stop Barkley. You know, Barkley's been pretty productive in his rookie season now. I don't know so much rush, a shit ton of passes for them. And that, you know, anything passing against us worries me because that's where we kind of suck. But, I mean, we are a better team than the Giants. Should win the game. Should.
Sure. Something we haven't been doing this season. We used to predict the score.
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, you're right.
We haven't done that all year.
I forgot about that.
Classic.
All right, score predictions then. Jason, Damon. Damon, since you brought it up, you go first.
All right. It's going to be a high-scoring game. I'll say 35-28.
I'll say 34-20.
I like your score better.
Of course.
I'll say 42-31. That's a shame that we're giving the Giants that many points.
Have you seen our defense?
I know. That's why it's a shame. All right.
Excuse me, New Yorker. I think you're in my seat, and I had sex with your mother last night.
Peter, are you crazy?
What did you say?
Oh, about the seat or about my plowing your father's wife?
What the hell are you doing?
Excuse me, is your refrigerator running? Because if it is, it probably runs like you. Very homosexually.
What?
How, you wanna dance?
Get suck, Yankee suck, Nick suck.
Any final words on the Falcons, though? You know, we did just beat the Falcons.
Fuck them.
Real good.
Fuck them.
You know, I was a little disappointed. I went on their fan, you know, fan message board after the game.
As is tradition.
You know, yeah. I enjoy watching them, you know, melt down. But they didn't have a lot of meltdown. Of course, all they do is use excuses. You know, injury, which definitely, you know, helps us. I mean, but you play the game with who's available. And, you know, they were, we scored, I forget, what was their final score? 36. We scored 36 points. Oh, this offense is legit. They're like, assholes, did you not see who you're playing? You know, Tampa Bay put up 48. Don't be excited because you put up points against the Saints.
Right.
Defense right now. So, yeah. I mean, that's the only thing. Their fan base didn't melt down, and that makes me sad.
No, they melted down so much that they've given up taking to the message boards, David.
Right.
Or you should have just gone to Twitter. Message boards are for old people. They're all on Twitter now. They broke down there. And, all right, so the last thing I will say is James Tabor, a late tweet is, you got something?
I'll say one thing. So the last time that Drew Brees rushed for two touchdowns in a game, including a one-yard sneak, was in Miami in 2009.
I remember.
It happened to be in the stadium against a certain team, but in the stadium that the Super Bowl was in that year. This year, we did that against Atlanta, in Atlanta, and where's the Super Bowl this year? Mm-hmm.
That's a good one to end on.
If we win the Super Bowl in their stadium, I quit watching football. I'm done. I don't want to hear anything.
It's over.
It doesn't get better than that.
I would understand if Brees wants to retire because he can't get any better than that.
Right. I would fold all my jerseys, put them away in the air sealed bag, bury it all in the backyard in the time capsule.
Right. That's the only thing that could top 28-3.
Unless we beat AFC team is 28-3.
beat the Falcons in the NFC Championship game 28-3 in their stadium.
No, that would be.
I don't like the circumstances it would take for that to happen, but. Or just beating the Falcons 28-3 in the Superdome and then going to their stadium and win the Super Bowl.
Us winning the Super Bowl against whoever from the AFC in the metal asshole 28-3. That's the final score of our Super Bowl.
And make it New England. Let's beat New England like that.
I don't give a shit. Beat Kansas City, beat New England, who cares?
What would you rather? either scenario, we win the Super Bowl, would you rather win it in New Orleans or in Atlanta?
In New Orleans.
Atlanta. I've been in New Orleans for our first Super Bowl, and fuck, it was awesome. To win a Super Bowl in the Atlanta Stadium, that means we have shit-talking rights for the rest of our lives against those fuckers.
Right.
That's it. That's all I need.
Yeah. But the other scenario would be more historic because no one's ever done it.
Yeah.
You know, no one's ever won the Super Bowl while they host.
And it would be unspeakable what the celebration, like the way it would be historic proportions. Like it's historic because no one's done it, but it would like just the nothing would compare.
Winning a Super Bowl in Atlanta, to me, that would compare. I think that would be better than winning a Super Bowl in the Dome. To win it in your fucking most hated team stadium,
right?
Give me that all day long. That's why I was so scared to death of Atlanta possibly making the Super Bowl a few years ago when it was here.
Right, no doubt. Oh, that would have been the worst.
That scared me to fucking death. I didn't want to.
That would have been the worst. You're right, Jason. You make a good point. I get either one.
Obviously, either one's great winning Super Bowl. But
and since the Super Bowl is this year in Atlanta, I'll choose winning the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
Yep.
God, we need another cornerback. We need another cornerback, man. This has to happen.
Like we said before in the offseason, it's happening.
So James, I know you came in with a late tweet. He asked, what would you give up to get a competent player at the cornerback 2 position? I think we answered that earlier. We would give up everything.
A lot.
Especially my left nut. Given the recent conversation about winning the Super Bowl in Atlanta. And with that, we will say goodnight. That's all the show we have for you. We are going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, noodle arm shit pants donkeys.
Good night, who dat naked.
Fuck the Yankees, fuck the Mets, fuck the Jets,
fuck New York.
Fuck